The rain has stopped just momentarily. We have foggy, misty skies, and it's 51 degrees here at KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, all the information you need, live and local. The KVOE forecast was brought to you by Max's Welding Supplies. Hard to find welding supply parts from hoods and gloves to cylinders, rods and wire. Max's Welding Supplies, 910 Graham Street, across from Mel's Tire. Stay tuned. Coming up now here on KVOE, it's time for Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
PT Associates of Emporia now offers blood flow restricted rehabilitation, a progressive evidence-based treatment that utilizes an FDA-approved tourniquet to reduce blood flow to an extremity during exercise. Blood flow restricted rehabilitation allows significant strength gains with minimal stress to the involved joint. This is ideal for anyone that is unable to tolerate high-intensity workouts, including pre- and post-surgery. PT Associates of Emporia at 12th and Industrial, 620-208-7878.
All the latest sports news and views, actions and reactions, your questions and comments. This is Saturday Morning Sports Talk on KVOE, 1400 AM, 96.9 FM, live and local.
And welcome to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, where we are driven by LongbineAuto.com. Tim Miller, Dylan Sherwood with you in studio. Blake Cripps on the road in Arkansas, where Emporia State will play.
Oklahoma.
Oh, is it Oklahoma? Rogers State?
Rogers State is in the Tulsa area.
Yep. I was thinking for some reason,
northeast part of Tulsa.
So Oklahoma.
Or northeast of Tulsa.
Get my geography correct. So, yeah, Blake's well, down in Oklahoma.
Well, you do realize Arkansas-Fort Smith's going to be in the MIAA, so Blake's going to end up making a trip to Arkansas at some point.
So a full house today, plenty of guests. We're going to bring in Carolyn Dorsey here momentarily, whose program had certainly a historic victory last night. Later on, we'll have Sean Russell, the Emporia High Girls Wrestling coach, on. We'll have the Emporia State Track coach on, Seth Mischke. And, of course, Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, will round things up. And without further ado, let's bring in Carolyn Dorsey. And Coach Dorsey, you know, I was a little less gray the last time you beat Washburn Rural.
Me too, Tim.
Well,
don't you worry, though. I'm going to get my hair highlighted.
Well, congratulations. What a great win for your girls, your basketball program.
Hey, yeah, it's been a really good 2 weeks. You know, we kind of wanted to be on because I think these kids need celebrated for what they've been doing. And so I really appreciate you guys having us.
Well, not only do you win the game, I mean, you dominate Washburn Rural, 44-23, your final score, 14-1 in the second quarter. You know, I can recall so many times you play Washburn Rural and the key was getting off to a good start, and we just couldn't do that oftentimes. But, boy, last night you sure did.
We told them it's going to be a dogfight. You know, we don't – dominating Washburn Rural in any sport, I don't think happens. You know, and I'm confident to say that for football, softball, baseball. I mean, again, basketball. They're good. They're an elite program. They're everything about that school is top shelf, in my opinion. So for us to get a win like that the way we did, Tim, that was one of the most perfect games of basketball I have seen. And I've played a lot of games, and I'm talking across my career. The way they guarded last night was absolutely phenomenal. And if people missed it or don't understand that, they really missed a really big opportunity to do something special.
Oh, Coach, you know, you go up 26-6 at the break, and you you held Washburn Rural to 1 point, which has got to be an outstanding second quarter of defense. And by the way, just a correction on the score, 43-22. I thought I had it written down right, but 21 point victory still. But Coach, holding Washburn Rural to 1 point in the second quarter had to be really good.
Yeah, they executed our game plan perfectly. We wanted to face guard their two best kids. You don't see it very often. And I'll say this, we gimmick the heck out of people. We can't afford to not. And Boardwick is the same way. That is a smart man. And I kept waiting on them to counter, and they tried, but we didn't budge an inch. Every time they countered, we were ready. And we were prepped. We guarded their plays correctly. We shut their two kids down. They did exactly what we were supposed to do. Lexi and AJ were phenomenal last night. you know, Lexi told me I didn't get her a breather until a minute in the game, and I didn't even notice. You know, and when they got tired, we rotated other kids on these other kids. But to, not to mention that the other kids who weren't face guarding were equally as phenomenal. They switched on the perimeter. They kept those kids a non-factor, which is what we were supposed to do. We had some big rebounds, and we attacked. And, again, I don't know that I've seen a performance like that. That was special. And, again, historic is a really good word for our program right now.
Well, you know, so many times when you were close with Washburn Rule and there was that last quarter you had to get through, that's usually where things might go wrong. But, gosh, last night, I mean, you were so far ahead and were dominating the basketball game so much. I mean, your kids at least had to play loose in the second half, whereas before, you know, they may have been a little tight going to the fourth quarter.
100%. You know, but it was funny. I had somebody in my ear. I'm not going to say names. Get it to 7. Get it to 6. Get it to 6. Get it to 5. You probably can guess who that is over there. But
yeah.
And it was almost, they were so excited to get it to 7, to get it to 6. You know, I was like, just stay calm. We aren't in that position ever. So I was more nervous with how we handled it. You know, 20-point lead going after halftime. We didn't want to ruin it because we still know what they're capable of. They came out on a 5-0 run, mm-hmm. and I was like, oh, God, this would be the worst loss of a lead ever is what, that, what
yeah.
I was thinking. But then we got a big three from Lexi, and I think that was just kind of the nail there, and they just hung on. We tell them play hard, hang on, run hard early, play hard early, hang on late, and they hung on, and they dug their heels in.
Offensively, a pretty balanced attack for you last night.
Definitely.
Yeah. We've talked about that. We have her, we have Kermer. She's going to score.
Yep.
And again, her leash is a little bit longer. She took a couple of forced shots last night, but she's our leading scorer. They do that at times.
Yep.
You know what I mean? The key is correcting her, and she understood, and she helped us in different. She was great defensively, I thought.
Mm-hmm.
But we've had our 2, 3, 4 man start to step up. Ryan Peake and Lexi are getting 10 and 11 these last couple games. That matters. And those other kids, 2, 3. Minnie hits a huge three at one point in time.
Yeah.
Addison Gutierrez, it's a huge three in the corner. I mean, those are the plays we need our kids to make when everyone else is carrying the weight of the scoring load.
You know, Coach, you know, I've been really impressed with Ryan Peake here as of late. Ryan, you know, I feel like Ryan Peake right now is probably now that third scorer that you like behind DeWitt and Addie Kermer.
Ryan Peake's playing well. Here's the thing, and we've talked about it all season. I have 12 seniors. There's other kids that probably could get a shot, but we tell them all the time, don't interrupt your opponent when they're busy making mistakes. Ryan had a hot hand. She's had a hot hand. She stays. You know, the same thing with Kermer or Lex. I mean, it's just, it's hard sometimes, but Ryan has been good. She's putting up about 10 or 11, about 8 or 9 boards at 5'9". I'd say that's pretty good. You know, she's shooting it well, which allows us to pull that big out of the paint because for so long they can't, the big can sit in the paint, and that's hard for our kids to score on. But if she's stepping out hitting shots, they have to honor that, and that opens up the lane for us, which is where our strength is.
And, Coach, this literally just came to my mind, but if I can recall all of these 13 games that you have played, I believe all but three of them, Addie Kermer was not the leading scorer. Ryan Peake's been a leading scorer. You know, last night she was leading scorer at Shawnee Mission North, and she was leading scorer against Blue Valley.
Yeah.
So what does it mean that the pressure can be off Kermer's back, knowing Kermer wants to be a ball distributor to our other teammates?
It makes us a better team. They can focus on Kermer, and that's great. But then you have Lexi, and then you have Ryan, and then you have AJ, who's a pain in transition, and then you have Addison, who can knock down shots, or Kyla, who's at the rim. Again, you can go down the line. With that happening right now, it helps us. You know, you look at last night with Rule. We took away their two factors. Those other three couldn't hurt us. We can't be the same way. You know, we don't want to have just one or two weapons. So they all need to be a weapon in their own way. And that's what I think we have. This, again, I've coached 10 years now. This might be one of the best team basketball players I've seen. The way they share the ball, the way they guard, I mean, the way they pitch it in transition. I will tell you, this is the best transition team I've been a part of in my 10 years. Their transition game is strong.
Well, and Carolyn, unfortunately, with the way this weather has gone for us, your kids don't have a whole lot of time to celebrate this great win. You're right back at it today.
Yeah, I know. I got to, like, T-minus 3 hours before I can not enjoy this anymore for a little bit. But hopefully after another win, I'm going to go back to the emotional roller coaster I've been a part of here. I told the girls, I cried of tears of joy on the bench last night. I have no shame in admitting it. It was beautiful. And for another couple hours, we're going to enjoy it. But, man, we got Junction City coming in. It's another win. It's another obstacle in our way. We could be 13-0 right now. That one loss still pains us. But, man, we're going to be playing some good ball here in February. And these games have helped us. Glacier's Edge helped us. They're champions. They played two top 10 6A schools and won. We played another top 10 6A school and won. And in Substate, we're ready. We've been battle-tested. This is just, again, another prep, hopefully, where we can get a lot of kids some reps and get them up and down. And we just only need another notch on the belt, because we need as much as we can going into Substate. And, you know, we talked about, I will say this, National Women's Day the other day. Man, these girls deserve that. They are fabulous women. They're fabulous role models. They're the epitome of what a student athlete should look like at Emporia High. They're respectful. They can be disciplined. They take accountability. And, God, they're pretty good basketball players on top of it. So I'm pretty high on them right now. I appreciate the support from you guys.
Well, Coach, again, congratulations. A fantastic win for your kids. And enjoy at least for a few more hours. And best of luck today against Junction City.
Thanks. We've got fifth-grade boys basketball right now. We're trying to keep that Emporia name up here in Topeka. We're going to go win a game now and then come back and hopefully do it again.
And real quickly, Coach, you got to encourage people to come today because it's free.
I heard it's free. That's great.
There you
go.
3 o'clock,
free admission. I mean, what more could you want?
That's right. Fill the gym.
That's right.
Again, congratulations. Have a good day.
Thanks, guys. I appreciate you working me in.
You betcha. Yep. All right. Carolyn Dorsey, the head girls basketball coach at Emporia High, coming off of a big win last night over Washburn Rural. Let's take our first break. When we come back, we'll be ready to roll for some more interviews here.
Yeah.
As we'll keep things rolling here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs, or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
I'm Ryan Radke with This Week in the NCAA on Westwood One. The Michigan Wolverines won their first outright football national championship since 1948 last month, 2 weeks after their title game victory. Head coach Jim Harbaugh departed for the NFL's Los Angeles Chargers. This past week, the school named former offensive coordinator Sherrone Moore the new head coach. During the Wolverines' undefeated campaign this past season, Moore served as the acting head coach for 4 games while Harbaugh was suspended. In late November, Moore led Michigan to a win over rival Ohio State, giving the Buckeyes their first loss of the season. Moore is now officially the 21st head coach of the team and is the first African-American to lead the winningest program in college football history.
We will do everything each day as a team to continue the legacy of championship football that has been played here at the University of Michigan over the past 144 years. I prepared my entire coaching career for this moment, and I can't think of a better place to do it than the University of Michigan.
We'll stay in Michigan for more coaching news next on This Week in the NCAA.
Jim Gaffigan here with some more straight talk. Let's take a moment to appreciate our sweet children, loving grandparents, and eternal soulmates. Now let's use them to save money on wireless. Because with the Straight Talk Silver plan, you get four lines for just $25 a month with unlimited data and no contracts. Thanks, kids. You're finally worth it.
And now get a Samsung Galaxy A14 included when you buy an extended Silver Unlimited plan. Find us at straighttalk.com. For data management practices and additional terms, visit straighttalk.com. Device offer ends 4/14/24. Online only excludes taxes and fees.
Michigan State men's basketball coach Tom Izzo, who earned his 700th career win this week. On Izzo's 69th birthday, the Spartans defeated the rival Michigan Wolverines 81-62, and Izzo became the eighth active coach with 700 wins. Izzo is in his 29th season in East Lansing. He's reached eight Final Fours and won the national championship back in 2000. That's This Week in the NCAA. I'm Ryan Radke on Westwood One.
Live and local sports news and views. Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Back on Saturday morning sports talk, driven by longbineauto.com, and joined now by Emporia Girls Wrestling Coach Sean Russell. And Coach, you've done some really good things here in the month of January. You've had teams finish second over the last couple weeks at tournaments. You know, last week at JC was a second place finish. You were sixth at the Southside Slam in Olathe. You were the second highest Kansas school there in a tournament that was filled with teams, I believe, from Missouri, Kansas, and I think there were some Nebraska ones there too. And of course, Newton Tournament of Champions was pretty special for you guys as a runner-up finish there too. So, you know, what do you like about what the girls are doing right now here in the month of January?
The girls, you know, they seem to be firing on all cylinders. You know, they believe in the system. They're working their moves, and they're just getting after it.
And what does it mean to start peaking here as we get into, you know, league coming up? League is today at Manhattan, and you guys have regionals coming up in JC next Saturday, and then state's right around the corner, and this is the time you want to be peaking here in February.
Yeah, hopefully we keep on the same trajectory that we're on now. You know, we just going through our practices and just keep fine-tuning our skills.
You know, you got a couple of ranked wrestlers in all classes, and Katina Akil Sabunghong is one of those, at 120. And Katina had to miss a portion of the beginning of the season. Do you feel like she's getting back to where she wants to be?
Yes, I believe she is. You know, Katina, she goes out there and scraps and gives 100%. And, you know, hopefully it always comes out in her favor.
And Virginia Munoz, I know last year's state appearance wasn't the best for her. I know she wants to have a really great ending to her high school career here this year.
Yes, she's in a tough regional, but she'll pull through there. She's going to do great for us at state.
And she moved up a weight class, correct, up to 140, right?
We felt the team was stronger with her there, and she went up a weight class for us. She was toying in between 135 and 140, and, you know, ultimately she did it for the team.
And Alexa Castillo has been a solid wrestler for you guys in December and January. Hasn't wrestled the last couple weekends, but do you feel like she'll be ready for the postseason?
Castillo's just one of those girls that, you know, she has it when it's go time. She gives 1,000%, and she got a good motor behind her.
Well, that is good to hear as we're visiting with Emporia Girls Wrestling Coach Sean Russell here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We got to talk about some other kids that have done some really good things.
Oh, yeah.
Kinsley Modrano at 130. She was a runner-up at Newton. You know, that's one that comes to the top of my head in an instant. But what do you like about these other younger wrestlers who may have taken really giant steps from last year into this year?
Oh, you know, they've all taken giant steps, we feel. You know, everyone from Allison Curtis to Haley Botris, you know, they're just, and our little new freshman, Chloe Steele, you know, Claire Starr's improved 100%. Erin Templeton, who just started a couple years ago, she was a manager sophomore year. You know, Brianna Wolf is still right in there. Yanelli Carranza, woo, she's really turning on there. You know, we're just right there along with the other girls, and they're just battling, and, you know, it's a team atmosphere.
What does it mean to have a strong team atmosphere in this program?
No, it means a lot. They hold each other accountable. They're battling. They're just scrapping. They're going at it. They give 100% in practice. And, you know, that's all we can ask.
And, you know, this program is, you know, continuing to grow. And you continue to see numbers up here in this program. I don't know if we talked about that when we caught up with you before the season started in November, but numbers still have been high here in the program this year.
Yes, you know, when we first took over, you know, we kind of had a five-year trajectory plan on where we wanted to be. We're hitting those numbers with the middle school starting their own little season. I believe they had close to 40 girls. So, I mean, that's phenomenal. It'll give some girls some extra experience for when they do get into high school.
Yeah, and what's big knowing that that program just starting over there at EMS and knowing they're going to be in your guys' hands here in the next couple of years?
Coach Mejia does a great job over there with them. You know, we got, you know, we all have the same mindsets, and, you know, we're just one big happy family, hope to stay that way, and, you know, we'll just keep be a good feeder program for us.
As we continue our conversation with Emporia High Girls Wrestling Coach Sean Russell here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And Coach, let's talk about league happening here today in Manhattan. I know, you know, it's always a tough grind. You know, Washburn Rolls always good. Manhattan's got good wrestlers. JC's got good wrestlers. So you feel like it's going to be a great league battle here today as you guys go out to Manhattan.
You know, they're in our league. They're in our regional. You know, I think Junction's Manhattan's like fourth or fifth. Junction City's sixth or seventh. Manhattan's ninth. I mean, it's going to be a tough contest for us. But, hey, that's what we've been practicing for. And, you know, you can't get better unless you wrestle better people.
And I guess with those tournaments you had last month, you know, you went to Dodge coming out from Christmas, and then of course having Newton, and then you know, Olathe with the Southside Slam, and then of course seeing JC and being there this last weekend. It's gotta feel like you guys are really prepared for this.
Yes, we're prepared for it. You know, they'll come out, and I have no doubt that they'll give all they can give for us.
What's big for you guys today to gear up, knowing you guys want to have some confidence going into regional next Saturday at the Blue Jay Event Center?
You know, we get to see some head-to-head matchups that we'll probably see in our regional. You know, same thing with Junction City last weekend. We got to see Southeast from Wichita and some other teams that we'll see to see how we match up with, kind of what their programs are doing, and just prepare for it as best as we can.
And what would it mean for the girls to get another Centennial League title? I know there were girls that did some really good things, you know, last couple of years or so, and, you know, a good state finish a couple of years ago as well as a team. But how do you want to continue that hard work and dedication with this group that you have?
You know, it would mean a lot to them. You know, we just take it one match at a time because you never really know what will happen. They fight till the end, and, you know, you could be down 13 by 13 points and put them on their back and get the pin, and vice versa. They just go out every match and scrap, and, you know, we really don't look at the team scores or anything until the very end. Well, at least I don't anyways.
You just focus on one match at a time, too, when you're coaching all your girls on the mat.
Yeah, just one match at a time is what I tell them. You know, we do really well most of the time. You know, I'm pretty superstitious if you ask the girls, so I don't change much up, especially on the days of the meets.
And hopefully, you know, there might be times where you might have two wrestlers wrestling at once. How do you feel like, you know, you're coaching one and then you try to jump to another one right away, because, you know, that's what happens at regionals and state too.
You know, sometimes there's no better feeling than sitting in between two of my girls wrestling and yelling over here and yelling over here and barking orders and just telling them what to do. Sometimes that's, you know, that's what, as a coach, that's what we practice too.
Well, Coach, I appreciate your time as always. Best of luck here today with the Centennial League tournament. Best of luck next week at regionals in JC. I know we'll have Curtis Simons there to provide updates for us. And I know Tegan and Curtis will be down at Hartman Arena in a different kind of scenario with it being a 3-day tournament, you know, all together. Real quickly, before we wrap up our conversation with state wrestling being 3 days this year. How unique is that for you guys when you guys get ready for your state preparation? Because you guys will have a little bit longer to get ready for state.
Yeah, we'll have a couple days because we'll have the weekend off beforehand as the boys, they'll go up and wrestle. You know, we kind of prepared for it all year by kind of keeping our girls to where they're not cutting any weight at all, to where they're just, you know, walking around at their natural weight and can make weight like that.
Well, Coach, thanks again for the time. Best of luck here in the month of February, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thank you so much. Hey, and I'd like to give a shout-out to my coaching staff, Kelly Olson, Miguel Tovar, and Johnny Keogh. They've done great, and the girls are lucky.
Awesome. You can't be done without them, Coach.
That's right. That is 100% true. It takes all of us.
Coach, thanks again for the time, and we'll talk to you again soon.
Hey, thank you so much for your guys' support.
That's Emporia High Girls Wrestling Coach Sean Russell. Join us here on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. And let's toss it back to the studio with Tim Miller and I.
All right, good conversation there with Emporia High Girls Wrestling Coach Sean Russell as we now switch gears and go to our area Athletes of the Week,
yeah.
Emporia High Athletes of the Week, of course, brought to you by Emporia Main Street.
Yeah.
Dylan, what do we have this Saturday?
Well, our Emporia High Athlete of the Week, you know, this kid had a really solid week. He qualified for state in diving on Thursday, and yesterday just announced he's going to go play for Garen Higgins at Emporia State, and that is Alex Alamang. So Alex making a trip to state for the first time in diving. He's had a you know, kind of an up and down year in the pool, but you know, congrats Alex on qualifying for state. So Alex Alamang is our Emporia Main Street Athlete of the Week. And we go to our area Athlete of the Week, and a 41-point performance is going to be our area Athlete of the Week, and it's Burlingame's Kaylin Noonan, who had 41 points against Northern Heights. I think had 9 rebounds, 9 assists as well. Pretty good night at the office for Kaylin Noonan, nearing 1,500 career points at Burlingame, all-time leading scorer at Burlingame right now. So Kaylin Noonan of the Burlingame girls basketball team is our Emporia Main Street Area Athlete of the Week.
Okay, so a couple of deserving athletes there. And with that, we will take our final break. And when we come back, Blake Cripps will have an interview with Emporia State track coach Seth Mischke. We're back with Blake right after this.
Everyone's transportation needs are different, and everyone knows that. Depending on your stage of life, your needs will continue to change. That's why, at Longbine Auto Plaza, we're ready to help you find the right vehicle and provide you with the best customer service available, too. We have a professional sales team that can match your needs, or if you're looking for a pre-owned model, we've got those, too. We'll even be glad to make an offer to you on your current vehicle if you're wanting to sell it. Remember, after the sale, our award-winning service will always be ready to keep you on the road. Our commitment to you, our customer, will always be there. So come in today and let us help you find what you're looking for. That's Longbine Auto Plaza in Emporia. Come see us or visit us at www.longbineauto.com. Longbine Auto Plaza, where we do business right. Chevy, find new roads.
Are you looking to start or expand a business in the area? Do you want to invest in property development? Do you want to help build or grow events that draw people to our area? Are you someone that wants to volunteer to make the region better? If you answered yes to any of these questions, Emporia Main Street is the organization for you. Visit Emporia Main Street at 727 Commercial Street or visit us online at emporiamainstreet.com. Your path to a better community starts at Emporia Main Street.
Whether you're buying your first home or moving into a new home, getting your home loan with Emporia State Federal Credit Union's convenient and easy. Emporia State Federal Credit Union knows the local market. They remain number one in mortgage lending in Lyon County by giving members flexible programs and down payment options, low closing costs, and fast underwriting. Visit esfcu.com to apply today. Equal housing lender, insured by NCUA, NMLS number 424226.
live and local
sports news and views.
Saturday morning sports talk on 96.9 FM and 1400 AM KVOE.
Welcome back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongBineAuto.com. Well, we're back out on the road with Emporia State basketball today, but we're continuing our spring sports previews here as we get set to talk about Emporia State track and field. And it's not really a preview because, believe it or not, they're already underway and have had a couple of meets, and they are back in action this week up in the capital city at the Washburn Open and Multies. Seth Mischke is in his first year as the Hornet head track and field coach, and earlier this week before we departed for Northeastern Oklahoma, I sat down with Coach to ask him how things were going. Well, Coach, first season here, and saw you out at the cross-country races, kind of checking on some of your distance runners, but how are things going in year one for Hornet track and field?
From my standpoint, pretty smoothly, you know. Those first-year transitions, a lot of questions, you know, that you have as a person, and then the student athletes and maybe some surrounding people, assistant coaches have. But I think it's been a great fall. We really did have a good fall, being able to be in play there relative to training, and then having an opportunity to watch, you know, some kids competitively get after it in cross country. Folks who obviously are going to be a huge part of our world come indoor and outdoor. And so it was a good sequence there, and you know, finish off that fall cycle with a meet, with the track meet at KU was good to kind of see where people are at and get a sense of who they are when the lights are on and the gun goes off and all that fun stuff. So and then back off a break. Now we're kind of in a rhythm here, looking forward to the future.
Yeah, how much do you have to use these events? Obviously, you've got that Christmas break, and you want to see, okay, well, how are people under the lights before the break? But you also kind of have to see, well, where are people now, now that we're back from break, and how far did the Wilson Invitational down at Wichita State go toward helping you see kind of where everybody's at here as you make the push toward the postseason in this very brief season for indoor track?
Yeah, it disappears in a hurry, unfortunately. Especially with that big break in the middle. But, you know, we talk a lot about fitness level and trying to maintain those things while we are on breaks and we're having some downtime. And so it's a chance for kids to take some ownership, you know, of what they want to get out of themselves and their season. And now that we're back at it, it's fun to see the progression of the kids getting into that rhythm, you know, and getting back to school and finding their time here and getting over some soreness. And then, you know, to a certain degree, we come back and we utilize, if we are smart, you know, track meets as part of our training. You know, it's the best training day of the week. From an adrenaline standpoint, you're just not going to simulate that in practice, very hard to in any sense. And so we have to make sure that we are not only competing on the weekends, but we're training and we're learning as well. And so it's fun to kind of talk to them and educate them on that and see that kind of come to fruition, you know, relative to, oh, you know, we did this last week. I'm going to try something different this next week, you know, as far as race strategy or whatever the case is. So it's neat to see those progressions with them.
When you're a coach, and we're talking with Seth Mischke, he's the first-year head track and field coach here for Emporia State. Obviously, in terms of your staff, you've got a lot of people who are typically very, very specialized in terms of what they're dealing. Coach Hill was just in here, and you guys, I'm sure you guys probably weren't talking about, you know, probably we're not talking about the shot putters with him, I'm guessing. Maybe. Right.
Sometimes we do.
Good conversation. How do you kind of take this bird's eye view of having to know a little bit about, well, throwing the javelin, the shot put, and steeplechase, and the, you know, all the different distances and all the different sprints and the hurdles and, you know, the long jump, the triple jump, the high jump, and, you know, how do you kind of take that bird's eye view of putting all the pieces together?
Yeah, the equation is a long one, and I'm not good at math, so sometimes it is a struggle. But you know, at the end of the day, you know, background of being a decathlete, you know, and training for a bunch of different events, it certainly was a huge piece to me being able to move forward in this light as far as being a coach and being comfortable being able to coach at numerous events. And then over the career that I've had, 25, 26 years in, I've had to be a head coach or a coach of every event at some point in time along the way. So it's fun for me to be able to have that background, luckily enough, and then, you know, be able to talk to assist the coaches about their specific, you know, events and their groups and their kids and how they're doing and what workouts are going well. And instead of going in there not knowing anything, you know, and not actually doing work on my end to try to understand some of those events as a head coach, I think do the team a disservice if you're a head coach and you're not involved in every event and group to the best of your ability, and hopefully bringing some knowledge to that and helping assist the coaches where needed, you know. But we've got a great group. Big team, obviously, and we've got coaches that are working their tails off to make sure that we're accomplishing what we need to do from a student-athlete standpoint.
Well, certainly when it comes to the student-athlete perspective, I don't know if anybody's getting it done for you quite as well as Travis Morrison right now, an All-American, and already have some qualifying marks. So what's he been successful at so far? Obviously, you know, you mentioned before we got started, you don't want to peak too early, but what's he been doing that's allowed him to have some early success?
I think it's just that confidence level that he's built up over the years. And, you know, starting at a point, and now he's at a different point. And he's just a consistent person, you know, relative to work ethic, you know, getting, make sure he gets what your stuff done. And then he's just grinding away rep after rep, you know, every single day. And that's what it takes in our world, you know. Training continuity is huge. It's kind of the end-all to beat-all for our sport. If we have some lapses in there that aren't productive, then it's going to make it tough to come back from. So if we can be consistent with our training physiologically as well as the mental side of it, then you're going to be able to find the good stuff at the end, and he's certainly on a path to that.
Melia Talla on the women's side, she's, I think, third in the MIAA in the shot put, so she's had a good start as well. What's her season been like so far?
Yeah, I think Coach Trimble was excited, understanding what, you know, Melia did in high school coming in, some very sound marks, you know, impressive marks competitively right away as a freshman, we were hoping, and she's proving that to be so. But you never know. With some of those kids, they come in, and it's a different story, you know, when it's being coached by a different person and different requirements. And so sometimes kids come in that are dynamite out of high school, and they just kind of struggle year one. And some come in and start lighting it up right away, you know. So it's been good to see Malay handle that transition nicely. And, you know, I think there's plenty more good that we're going to be able to see from her in the future.
We talked in the fall, and we're talking with Seth Mischke, first-year track and field coach here for the Hornets and Lady Hornets. We talked a little bit about, you know, putting the whole meet together, and, you know, it's all about scoring points. When you've got a guy like Tyler Swift who can win multiple events, how valuable is a guy like him when you're trying to put together your program?
Well, yeah, 100%. You know, I'm a multi-event person by heart, you know, as far as being a decathlete. And so we really do have to kind of challenge that aspect of our sport and track and field. And, you know, having a person be at the top of their game and being a conference champ in one event is fantastic. It's impressive. Certainly helps just the mantra and the energy of the team. But at the end of the day, that's 10 points, you know. And if we can have people that are competitive in three events, you know, maybe they're scoring more than that at the end of the day. And that just continues to add to what we're capable of doing and who we're going to be potentially as a team come conference time. And in the MIAA, you can't have just a bunch of one-event people, you know, and expect to do anything major. So, you know, our ability to find those kids that can dabble in a couple of other things and maybe be competitive in more than one event is a huge piece to where I think we need to go and try to challenge for.
We've heard a lot so far about qualifying marks, provisional qualifying marks. Can you kind of explain that process for maybe someone who doesn't check in or maybe is not as knowledgeable about track and field, what those mean and what you're going for this time of year?
Yeah, you know, your elite level people certainly are potentially thinking about a national berth and what it's going to take to get to a national meet. And so the NCAA used to have an automatic mark where if you attain that mark at any point in time during the season, then you were automatically qualified for nationals. Typically, they made that mark very strenuous to attain, and so not everyone's going to make it to fill a field that they're going to produce at a national meet. Indoor, it's 16, the best 16 in the country get to go, typically, and with a maximum of 20. And that gets confusing, but we won't talk about that.
So, that's okay.
And then you would have a provisional mark, okay? So you had at least attained the provisional mark to be on the national list to be able to have a chance to go. So if you had five people attain the automatic mark, then the next fastest, farthest, whatever, quickest down to filling the field of 16 would be the ones that would be able to go. And a few years ago, the distance events in Division II just started going bonkers, and they had more than 16 people hit the automatic mark. So NCAA was asked a question at that point: are you going to pay for these extra people who qualified as an automatic berth? And they said, yes, we will, and they did that year, and then the very next year they took away the automatic qualifying mark to get away from that situation, and rightly so. To a certain degree. So now it's a provisional mark only, and you're on that list, and now it's just those top 16, sometimes down to 20 relative to full field sizes at Nationals, get to go indoor, and then outdoor it's the top 20, maybe to 24 would be a max field that they would have. So at the end of the day, if you're a national caliber person, you're watching that list, you're trying to climb up and make sure you're inside that magic number to be able to get yourself there to the big time.
Final question for you. Washburn Open, obviously, as the listeners are hearing this, day one complete, in the middle of day two or just starting day two up there in Topeka. Talk to us about the level of competition you're going to face there at Washburn, and obviously any time that Emporia State and Washburn get together, it's always a bit of a rivalry.
Yes, I'm learning that for sure, and that's great. You know, it's fun to kind of find out what that is and what that means and be a part of that as a new person. But the great facility, and you know, they're running some great things there. Always have competitive people coming to that facility because it is so nice. So anytime you go there, you know you're going to be challenged, you know, as an individual and as a program. And you know, you got to get your people in that mind frame, you know, especially heading towards the second half, back end of our indoor season, moving towards the conference championship, where you know it's going to be on the line and energy and flow, and if you don't have it ready to roll, you're going to get dusted, you know. And so putting our people in that situation, that environment, on occasion during the indoor season is fantastic, just because they learn a little bit, hopefully, and they're ready to make the right choices the next time if they felt like they made a mistake, you know, during the year. So it's good to kind of have some of those meets where we get there relaxed and just get in there, have some fun and compete. And then there's definitely times where we got to get in there knowing that we need to produce this weekend. You know, it's where conference is going to be this year, indoor. So getting our kids on that track in the facility, familiarize themselves, which most of the returners have done. But we have a good little freshman group that needs to get in there and kind of see what's going on. So it's going to be a good meet. We're excited. Look forward to seeing what we can do.
Coach, appreciate the time, and best of luck to you guys out there in the rest of the season.
Appreciate you. You bet.
Seth Mischke, first-year head coach for Emporia State Track and Field. We'll send it back to Saturday Morning Sports Talk. We'll talk to you guys here in a couple of hours from Claremore, Oklahoma, for Emporia State and Roger State basketball. So that's it for now. Guys, back to you.
All right. Thank you very much, Blake Cripps.
Yeah.
With his interview there with Emporia State Track Coach Seth Mischke. And again, Blake, yeah, on the road with the Emporia State Hornets in Claremore, Oklahoma, set to take on Roger State. Women's, by the way, game will tip at 2 o'clock, 1:30 pregame, of course, and then the men will follow. Those games on Mix 104.9. We will be visiting with Mitch Holtis here momentarily, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Of course, the Chiefs ready to head to Super Bowl 58 to take on the San Francisco 49ers. As the Chiefs train keeps rolling down the track, and we will bring in now voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, Mitch Holtis. Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Good morning, Mitch Holtis.
Good morning, Tim. We've done these since the beginning of training camp, so at the end of July, and for the fourth time in 5 years, our last Saturday chat will be before. So I guess we'll have one next week before the Super Bowl. But still, it's what a run we're on here. And here we are.
Mitch, I'm sure when you became voice of the Kansas City Chiefs, obviously your ultimate dream was to have a run like this. But I can't imagine you thought it would be like this, where the Chiefs would basically now be the new dynasty of the National Football League.
Yeah, when you say like this, even our wildest imagination never thought it would be four Super Bowls in 5 years and two Super Bowl championships and maybe a third. And when you look at what this team has done in the regular season, with the amount of 12-win seasons and winning the division 8 straight years, no, there was no imagination that I had that came up with this. So it's been pretty spectacular. Not easy.
Nope.
Yeah.
You guys get to follow the twists and turns of this, not just as a fan, like jumping in and out. We live it every week. We live it every day at camp. And so people, if they are tuned to these every week, have to feel like they've kind of walked through this jungle as well.
Mitch, did you feel a different vibe with this team over the last couple of weeks? It's something that I heard Patrick Mahomes say on Thursday in his press conference, but you feel like there's just been kind of a different vibe with the team, knowing that they wanted to get back to this position that they want to be back in, despite not having the best regular season performance?
Dylan, there's two things to consider here, and that was always there, that prevailing thought. And there was a pillar of infrastructure and really led by Andy Reid on the defense where, this team led the league in drops. We know that. They were number one in offensive holds. They were minus 11, sometimes minus 12 in the giveaway takeaway, and yet they had nine wins. They were still setting up 9-6. And we talked about it 5 weeks ago or before Christmas where this team still is in position to do what it always wanted to do. But then the sequence of things that happen, and we've kind of chronicled that on these shows every Saturday, where the offensive line took it upon themselves to, stand up and take jump on our backs. And then the win over Cincinnati allowed them to get the bye week, or not a bye week, but the week that they had in week 18 where the starters didn't have to play. And even Dave Tope talked about that in his presser this week, where that game, as I mentioned to you guys a couple weeks ago, put an infusion of adrenaline into the team. But there's an unusual toughness still, and I think that where we go next with the answer is the fact that an unusual toughness with this team. And I said getting the 3 seed ended up being a blessing in disguise. One, they got the week off, so the week the starters could rest, and still won that game. But then the toughness and the fact that they went to Buffalo and won gave them every shred of confidence they could go to Baltimore and win. And so this team, if you're a Chiefs fan, you need to be proud of them. They have unusual toughness, and not just physical toughness, mental and emotional toughness.
Mitch, with the passing of Norma Hunt, how extra special is this run for the Chiefs?
Well, and particularly for those who knew her well and been around a while, and you really sense that after the Baltimore win. I don't know if you saw the picture. I'm holding the Lamar Hunt trophy. I'm waiting to get Mahomes to do an interview for 65 TPT for our Rewind show. And I'm just in the hallway by myself, and I've got the trophy. I've got the Lamar Hunt trophy, and I'm just holding it. And I was thinking about Lamar and Norma. But it was special. And how special is it that Pat mentions it from the stage?
Yep.
I mean, he wasn't prompted to do that, Tim. That came from his heart. And so I think that was your answer, probably seeing the photo of me and Patrick saying what he said, was that night in specific, winning the Lamar Hunt Trophy, and just the months after we had lost Norma, meant everything to this team and for sure to the Hunt family.
Mitch, if Snead does not force the fumble into the end zone when Baltimore's driving, did you get a sense that if that play wasn't made and Flowers gets into the end zone, that game may have turned?
It had the potential to turn, but again, let's go back to the toughness of this team. I was thinking that it had the potential to turn, and it wasn't just hope. It was that this team will handle it because Buffalo made a similar run. Buffalo made a run. They could go down and tie the game or take the lead at the end, and the defense wouldn't let them do it. So it was a sense of, oh, my gosh, here it goes. It wasn't that. It was, all right, they've scored. That puts a little bit of a different, spin on this game. But I had every shred of confidence that the team in all three phases could go ahead and pull it out. That's how tough this team is.
Mitch, I know with Charles Omenihu, having that strip sack last week against Baltimore, and unfortunately he tears his ACL. But the Chiefs have been in the situation when Omenihu was out for those first six games of the season. How big is it that this defense can do the good things that they've done, even with Omenihu not on the field?
We've seen that, too, throughout the trials and travails of the season, because it's a testimony of the depth at all three levels for this team. We lose Nick Bolton for 7 games. We didn't have him for a third of the season right in there. And Drew Tranquil was able to play there. Willie Gay Jr. has been in and out, and Tranquil can play the weak side position. And then inside, we lose Derek Nnadi, and Big Mike Pinnell has been able to rotate in there with others to protect that spot. We lose Brian Cook, and we're like, all right, but now Mike Edwards and Shamari Connor and even Deion Bush has stepped up. It's a testimony to Brett Veach and the way he thinks to build a team with depth, not just pay 5 superstars and then hope you got a good enough team like the Chargers have done. So I'm heartsick for Amenihu, Dylan. I'm heartsick for him. Because, one, he loves being here. Almost every time I talk to him, he'll say, God, this is awesome to be here. Like, this is a dream for me to be involved in this culture. Remember, he was on the other side of it. And then last year, he played with the 49ers. We're going to play his old team in the Super Bowl, and he doesn't get that chance. I mean, there was tears in his eyes, and he's like, I think I can go, man. Just brace it up. I mean, that's the way an athlete thinks. So I'm super sad for him. Now, enter Felix Anudike-Uzomah. Not that he's going to get all of those Amenihu snaps, but he's going to get some snaps. So this is a chance for FAU, who at times has flashed. It was just a matter that these other guys have played at such a high level. Amenihu coming back from the suspension. Mike Dan has been steady all year long. Karloftis has had an awesome year. And actually, Malik Herring is kind of one of the unsung dudes. And the fact that he was so good against the Chargers in that Week 18 game. He played like a starter. He looked like a starter. He greatly impacted that game, playing like 68 snaps or something. And so it was like, well, let's put Malik Herring in there. So it's just a matter of FAU getting crowded out. Well, now Felix gets a chance to be on the biggest stage for his hometown team. And I've got to think when he looks across the line of scrimmage when he's out there, he's going to go, well, wait a minute. It's Brock Purdy. That's the Iowa State guy, right?
Yeah.
I was the Big 12 defensive player, the player of the year. Like, okay, let's do this. So I think at some point he'll probably put that, have it in his brain.
Well, Mitch, I know this is a team game, but when you start analyzing some of the individuals and what they've accomplished in their career and where they're going to go down in history, Travis Kelce now, most postseason catches ever in the NFL, caught all 11 targets last week. Patrick Mahomes, already 14 playoff wins, first quarterback to start 4 Super Bowls before the age of 30. I mean, we're talking about just some incredible individuals, and I know it takes that to have the success they've had, but boy, it's just amazing to sit back and think about these things.
And I'll add Butker with his 52-yard field goal last week, where I think took the oxygen out of the lungs of the Ravens, because they had not trailed by 10 points all year, and they went into halftime with that, and they're stewing on it, and they just kind of panicked because of it. And because of Butker's 52-yard field goal, he ties Adam Vinatieri for the most 50-plus yard field goals in the history of the National Football League in the postseason. Let that one soak in. And then Rashi Rice. If Rashi Rice has a big day next Sunday, he will be the top rookie receiver in NFL postseason history, passing Ja'Marr Chase.
Wow.
And so, yeah, you got that one going on. But the two that you mentioned with Kelce and Mahomes, I mean, we have Jeter and Trout on the same team, if you want to give a baseball analogy. But the fact that he took out Jerry Rice tells you the enormity, Kelce, of that stat. And our guy did it. And it'll stand for a good piece of history here.
Well, Mitch, of course, I know we'll dissect more of the Super Bowl game next week against the San Francisco 49ers. But, man, what a great matchup this proves to be.
Yes, it will. And we'll get into it. And we'll deep dive and scuba dive on these guys. I mean, they're the most efficient team in the league offensively. I'll just give you one, though, little snippet. And Matt McMullen and I have been working some on it, although this has been a beehive of activity. You guys have heard my Minute with Mitch this week, or maybe saw it on WIBW-TV, where you can't win the game this bye week, but you can lose it. Mm-hmm. And it's the most un-bye week bye week ever, because it is just I mean, I'm spinning that right now. I'm going to spin throughout this entire day and all the way up to the point where I get on the plane. But you've got to take care of your business this week. The one stat that Matt and I were talking about is the San Francisco defense must rely off turnovers. They're very similar to Baltimore. The Chiefs have actually forced punts on 44% of opponent drives. Mm. That's pretty crazy for the yep. Chiefs defense. And the Chargers only about 38%. So we'll get into it, but the offense protects the defense. San Francisco's closer to Baltimore than you think.
Mitch, hey, I did have a question for you, just not necessarily Chiefs related, but what's going on in the division with the head coaches? We see Antonio Pierce get the job in Las Vegas, certainly deserving of that with what he did on the interim basis. And then Jim Harbaugh now in the league with the Chargers. Pretty good foursome of coaches now going at it in the AFC West.
It's the desperation of all the teams in the division to take us out.
Yep.
I mean, 8 years. Right. What if we sit there, Tim, for 8 years and watch the Broncos win this division? It would you'd drive to work every day, like shaking your head and pounding your steering wheel. They're frustrated. Now, all these guys that have been hired, including Peyton, it's only as good as your infrastructure, meaning it starts with your owner. So the Spanos family is going to have to make some drastic family decisions to allow Harbaugh to be successful. If not, it'll be short-lived. Now, the Broncos have it. They've got their ownership group together. It's the Walmart money and Condoleezza Rice. And so they seem to have the framework there. They just have to get out under the shadow of the Wilson contract. And then in the case of the Raiders, they stumble into Antonio Pierce. I think he's going to be a fabulous coach. But again, if your ownership and your infrastructure is not solid and not willing to play along with your coach and GM, and your coach really needs to be in lockstep with your GM. It's what happened. In fact, even Dan Campbell mentioned it's what's happened with the Lions. They have done what the Chiefs did in 2013, and that is reconfigure the whole way of thinking. Unless these three division teams do that, they'll spin their wheels. I don't care who they hire as a coach.
Well, Mitch, enjoy your weekend. Can't wait to talk to you next week about the Super Bowl 58.
Yeah, we'll get up early in Vegas and talk to you. So we'll be ready to rip, boys. Here we go again.
I'm excited for it.
All right, Mitch. Hey, again, have a good weekend.
Get a lot of rest, Dylan. You do those high school games, but have enough.
I got
need some whistles next week.
I got another one today. The interesting thing, the Emporia High Lady Spartans picked up their first victory over Washburn Rule in 17 years last night.
This is getting good. This is like watching Ted Lasso. What's the next episode?
Yeah, exactly. So. Yeah.
Well, they look for their 11th consecutive win today against Junction City.
Ooh, look at you. All these Saturday games, too, man. Are you the Tony Romo of the Flint Hills?
I don't know, but
you want to run from that comp.
Well, I'll take Saturday games whenever I can get them, but next week I'll be back on a normal basis. So,
well, it's exciting to see what those gals are doing, and you're 30 days from it getting really intense. So. Have some fun, brother. Bring it home.
Well, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Mitch.
All right. Thanks, you guys. Appreciate it.
All right. Mitch Holtis, voice of the Kansas City Chiefs. Again, Mitch's appearance made possible by Emporia State Federal Credit Union. Ask Isabel Lopez or Jared Gurman about the credit union advantage and ease in getting a home mortgage loan from Emporia State Federal Credit Union, NMLS number 424-226. Before we get out of here, I know we're a little past time just running down the schedule today. Of course, we will have Emporia State men's and women's basketball on our airwaves. The women with their pregame show at 1:30, 2 o'clock tip from Rogers State. That will be on Mix 104.9. Of course, the men's game will follow. Dylan will have Emporia High girls basketball on the country station today. Country 101.7.
Very rare there,
Tim. Yeah, very rare there. A 3 o'clock tip. The girls will take on Junction City. That is a makeup game. Of course, wiped out by weather earlier in the month of January.
The game was supposed to be in JC too, but it's being played here because they don't have the facilities to do it today. So another home game, free.
That's right.
Free.
So go out and watch a really good girls basketball team. And then both the boys and girls Emporia High teams will be in action on Tuesday against Hayden, and that game will be at home. By the way, the boys, unfortunately, had a rough go last night against Washburn Rural. They lose 48-31. Now, the girls, again, playing Junction City today. That game will follow the Kansas State game. K-State is on the road taking on Oklahoma State. Noon pregame, 1 o'clock tip from Stillwater. And then, boy, huge game in the Big 12 today. Kansas at home taking on Houston. That's number 4 versus number 8. It'll be right here on KVOE AM, 3 o'clock tip in Allen, 1:30 pregame show. KU is an underdog in Allen today, as the Houston Cougars, a 1.5-point favorite to knock off the Hawks on their home floors. So a lot of great basketball action across our airwaves today. So you won't lack in finding some good hoops across the dial today. So with that, we will wrap things up on Saturday Morning Sports Talk. For Dylan Sherwood, I'm Tim Miller. Thanks for tuning in. This has been Saturday Morning Sports Talk, driven by LongbineAuto.com. We'll talk to you again next Saturday.
Since 1939, news, weather, and sports. KVOE, 1400 AM Emporia, 96.9 FM, K245BQ Emporia.
From ABC News, I'm Brian Clark. The U.S. struck targets in 80 different spots across Iraq and Syria, retaliation for last week's drone strike that killed 3 American service members. National Security Council spokesman John Kirby said it was about de-escalating tensions in the region.
The goal here is to get these attacks to stop. We're not looking for a war with Iran.
The U.S. blames Iranian-backed militias for carrying out those attacks. Earlier in the day, Friday, President Biden attended the dignified transfer of the 3 U.S. personnel who were killed in last weekend's attack. He is on a primary ballot today in South Carolina, and ABC's Mary Alice Parks explains why the Palmetto State is important to Democrats.
This state is a connector for the larger black community across the country. He called it the heartbeat of the black community across the country. And their hope is that by energizing black voters here in South Carolina, it will have a ripple effect across the country. There's no guarantee that a message that works here will work everywhere, but still they have absolutely leaned in big here in South Carolina.
Major campaign issue, the southern border, and there's a bipartisan group in the Senate that says they have an agreement in place on border deal that would also include funding for countries like Israel, Ukraine, but it's not clear if it will pass in the House. Southern Californians are being told to prepare for an extremely strong storm moving towards them. ABC's Alex Stone has the details.
Evacuation warnings are now going out in Santa Barbara County, which has dealt with deadly mudslides in the past. The storm that's coming in late in the weekend and through next week, forecasters say could be like one not seen in almost 30 years in California. 10 inches or more of rain could fall. It'll be days and days of heavy rain. Now in Santa Barbara County, some people are being told they should think about getting out.
You're listening to ABC News.
With your choice of select sandwich, nugs, fries, and a drink, Wendy's $5 Biggie Bag is your go-to. Your nugget wingman. Your hot and crispy fry co-pilot.
Just like us. We're like the bag boys.
What?
Bag boys, bag boys. What you gonna do? What you gonna do when we bring your food?
For a deal you can count on, bet on Biggie and choose wisely. Choose Wendy's.
Bag boys, bag boys.
U.S. price participation may vary. Includes choice of JVC or crispy chicken sandwich with 4-piece nugs, junior fry, and small soft drink. Third-party delivery pricing may be higher.
For the ones who get it done, the most important part is the one you need now. And the best partner is the one who can deliver. That's why millions of maintenance and repair pros trust Grainger. Because we have professional-grade supplies for every industry, even hard-to-find products. And we have same-day pickup and next-day delivery on most orders. But most importantly, we have an unwavering commitment to help keep you up and running. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Jury deliberations will begin Monday in the manslaughter trial of Jennifer Crumbly, the mother of a school shooter in Michigan. Prosecutors said she was focused on her own interests and ignored her son's calls for help. On the witness stand, she tried to clarify the situation involving a gun she and her husband had for their son.
It was for him to use at the shooting range. We didn't just hand him a gun.